بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله صدق الله العظيم وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الدنيا حلوة خضرة وإن الله مستخلفكم فيها فينظر كيف تعملون أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, all praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us a complete and perfect deen. With regard to the completion, the perfection, the culmination of the deen of Islam, on one occasion, a Jewish person came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He said to him, "O Umar, you Muslims have been given such a verse of the Quran that if the like of this verse had to be revealed upon us, the Jews, then we would have made the day of revelation a day of festivity, a day of Eid, a day of celebration for us." Upon inquiring from him as to which verse he was referring to, this person recited the verse of Quran, "Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum." وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says to him that today I have completed your religion, your way of life for you. And in doing so, I have perfected all my favors upon you. And I, that is Allah, have become pleased with Islam as a way of life for you. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu then goes on to say that I know the time and place of the revelation of this verse. What was the occasion? It was the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, the farewell pilgrimage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The day was the day of Jumu'ah. The day was the day of Arafah. The gathering was perhaps the largest gathering of Sahaba radiallahu anhum at that point in one place. Why such honor? Why such circumstances surrounding the revelation of this particular verse? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout time, from Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, each Nabi came into this world with different sets of laws, rules and regulations. For some Anbiya and their ummats, the consumption of certain types of meat was prohibited, was forbidden. For other nations, marriage to family and relatives was forbidden. For other nations, if any impurity fell on their clothing, they were commanded to get rid of their clothing, throw it away, they were not allowed to wash it. Different laws, different rules and regulations came down. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected and gave the culmination of deen, the perfection of all these laws, the way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was not given to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. It was not given to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. But the perfection of deen was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this in itself is no surprise. Because if we look into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that in every aspect of his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose only the best for him. When it came to the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he is returning from a battle and he comes close to Madinah Munawwara. In the distance, as he sees the mountains of Madinah Munawwara, he exclaimed to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, "Inna hadhihi tayyiba." That this is the blessed and pure city of Madinah Munawwara. "Askananiha Rabbi Azza wa Jal." This is a city that I have not chosen for myself, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose it for me. When it came to his city and the place where he was to be buried, Allah gave him the best. Similarly, when it came to the conduct, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah declares emphatically in Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as ulama say, you have been given the franchise of good character. That if any person from now till the day of Qiyamah wants to learn akhlaq, wants to learn morals, wants to learn good conduct, he will have to come to your feet and learn it. When it came to his character also, Allah gave him only the best. Similarly, when it came to the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, here also Allah gave him only the best. As the poet says in Arabic, وَشَقَّ لَهُ مِنْ إِسْمِهِ لِيُجِلَّهُ فَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ مَحْمُودٌ وَهَذَا مُحَمَّدٌ. That when it came to the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where did Allah take this name from? Allah derived the name Muhammad from his very own name. What does this mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Arsh. Allah is known as Mahmud, the praiseworthy being. And from the same root letters in Arabic, Ha, Mim, Dal, Allah chose the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is Mahmud, His Nabi is Muhammad. When he came to his name also, Allah gave him only the best. Similarly, when it came to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَظَرَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ, that prior to the creation of mankind, Allah looked into the hearts of every human being who would come onto the surface of the earth till the day of Qiyamah. And He found the most pure and most clean heart, and He chose that for the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ نَظَرَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ, then once again Allah looked into the hearts of mankind. And He found those hearts after the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that were the most pure and clean. And He chose these hearts for the companions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, those who would be at the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They also, when it came to those around Him, when it came to His companions and family members, they also Allah gave Him only the best. Therefore it is no surprise that when He came to His deen, when it came to His way of life, when it came to His teachings, there also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Him only the best. That is why Allah says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. I have completed your deen, your way of life for you, and in doing so, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, I have perfected my favor upon you. This way of life that you have been given is the best. There is no other way. There is no other solution to our problems. There is no other outlet. There is no other pathway that we can tread upon. This is the best chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having understood this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the best, we can then understand that the recipients of this deen, the inheritors of this deen, also had to be the best. Therefore, when it came to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here also Allah gave us the certificate. Kuntum khayra ummatin. That from all the nations that came into this world from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam, till the day of Qiyamah, the best nation will be the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The certificate has been given to us. If we look amongst the nations of the past, we will find that on many occasions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised certain ummah, certain groups of people of the past. One of the nations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke very highly about is the Bani Israel, the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In the terminology of Quran, Allah says, فَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. We gave them virtue, we gave them status, we gave them rank that we had not given to anybody else. Yet, when the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came into this world, then this title also was stripped away from the Bani Israel. So that ulama explained, yes, they were the best nation that came into the world in their time. But the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam took first place. Allah said, فَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. We gave them status, we gave them rank. They were the best of nations chosen by us. Let us analyze the Bani Israel in light of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just one incident. The command comes to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They tell the Bani Israel to enter Baytul Maqdis. This is the city I have chosen for them. And when they enter Baytul Maqdis, there is a nation who is residing there. They are very powerful, they are very strong. The command is that you, O Bani Israel, you wage war with them, you take them out of this land, and this land will now become a land for you and your progeny. The Bani Israel listen to this command given to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do they say to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Ya Musa, inna fiha qawman jabbarin. وَإِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا حَتَّى يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا. O Musa, we understand this is a command of Allah. We understand this is what is required for us, but unfortunately we don't have the capability. We don't have the ability. We don't have the fire. We don't have the military capability. We are too weak. We are small in number. And therefore we don't feel that it is possible for us to comply with the command of Allah. So with due respect to you and the command of Allah, we are unable to fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we are not moving from here until they come out of Baytul Maqdis. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam nevertheless pleads with them. He begs them, this is a command of Allah. You have no choice. Like today a person says that due to the environment, due to the economy, it is not possible for me to operate my business without interest. Due to the way people are, it is not possible for me to go to a family gathering without breaking the command of Allah. It is not possible for me to join family ties without breaking the command of Allah. So I understand that with due respect to the command of Allah, but I am unable to fulfill it. Let us understand, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a person beyond his capability. The commands of Allah are perfect, they will remain perfect. Yes, if a person has a weakness, a person is unable to uphold the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he should acknowledge that weakness. It is my weakness, I will make tawbah, I will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are perfect. So they argue with him, Musa alayhi salam, pleads with them, he begs them. Eventually, stubbornness, pride overtakes them. What do they say? That, O Musa, fadhhab anta wa rabbuk. You are insisting on this, it's something we are unable to manage. You and your Allah, you go forward and fight, we are not moving. We are sitting here. We cannot comply with the command of Allah. This is the reaction of Bani Israel. What did Allah say about them? فَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ We gave them virtue over the entire world. They were the best. Let us look at their reaction, analyze it, and compare it to the reaction of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The occasion is the occasion of the Battle of Badr. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum are facing an army of kuffar that are more than double in number. They have weapons, they have strength on their side, they have the numbers. The Muslims are ill-equipped, they are small in number. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathers the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. O my Sahaba, what is your mashwara? What is your guidance? One Sahabi stands up, he addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he say to him? That, O Rasul of Allah, O Nabi of Allah, we will not say to you as the Bani Israel said to Musa, that you and your Allah go forward, we are unable to manage this. But what is our reaction? فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ You and your Allah go forward. إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ We will fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَنُقَاتِلَنَّ عَنْ يَمِينِكَ وَعَنْ شِمَالِكَ وَمِنْ أَمَامِكَ وَمِنْ خَلْفِكَ We will fight on your right, on your left, in front of you, behind you. But we will never abandon you, we will never abandon the command of Allah. Allah gave Bani Israel the certificate, فَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ They were the best of nations. But when the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the picture, they stole this. They took it away, they stripped them of their title. That this is now the best ummah. This is the ummah that has been given the rank, the status. That is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the leader of the women of Jannah, there were many women amongst the nations of the past who had devoted their lives to Allah. They had sacrificed their desires, sacrificed their time, sacrificed their lives for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when this certificate was granted, the leader, the queen of the women of Jannah, who did Allah choose? وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of this ummah. When it came to choosing the leader of the youth of Jannah, they also, many youth of the past, many youngsters sacrificed. They gave up their desires. They gained closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when Allah chose the leader of the youth of Jannah, والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhum are the grandsons of this ummah. The status is there, the position is there, the rank is there. What is left for you and I to understand who we are? Understand what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to us? Kuntum khayra ummatin, Allah says, you are the best. You have been given the title. But with this rank, with this status comes a very great responsibility. In this world also you have a big business, a big company. The worker on the lower level of that company, he does not have any status, he does not have any position, his salary is very meager. But together with that, his responsibility is minimal. He is not answerable to the shareholders. He does not have to take care of the expenses. On the other hand, you take the CEO of the company. He drives the flashy car, he has the fancy desk, the fancy office. The status is afforded to him. But with that comes his responsibility. At the end of the month, at the end of the year, he is answerable to the shareholders. At the end of the month, he needs to ensure that the bills are paid, the expenses are taken care of. Like this, Allah has given us that status. Allah has given us the honor. Allah has given us the rank. What is our responsibility? Allah outlines this. أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ That you have been sent into this world not as a selfish nation. Not as a selfish ummah that I am worried about my wife and my children and that is all. As long as my house is safe, then I am okay. What is your duty that you will take one person out of the fire of Jahannam, take them towards Jannah? One person out of the fire of Jahannam, take him towards Jannah. This is your duty, this is your responsibility in this world. That wherever I go, I will become a beacon of hidayat and guidance. Whether it be through my conduct in the workplace, whether it be through my conduct with my family, whether it be the way I conduct myself when on holiday, the way I conduct myself in my daily chores and duties. But in every step of my life, I will become a beacon of hidayat, of guidance. So that I will become like Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they would go to any town, all they would say, kunu mislana. Just become like us. You want success, become like us. Let your character be like our character. Let your dealings be like our dealings. Let your life be like our life. Allah has given us the status, Allah has given us the honor. It is up to us now to understand who we are. Understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from us. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent into this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the day of Qiyamah. Ati bab al-Jannah, he says, I will come to the door of Jannah. فَأَسْتَفْتِحُ, I will ask the angel of Jannah to open the doors. فَيَقُولُ الْخَازِنُ مَنْ أَنْتَ, he will ask, who is there? I will reply, it is Muhammad. It is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What reply will the angel give? بِكَ أُمِرْتُ لَا أَفْتَحُ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلَكَ, I have been commanded not to open the door of Jannah for anybody before you. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the doors of Jannah will be closed. Jannah will become haram for every other Nabi until I do not enter Jannah. And not only that, but Jannah will become haram for every ummah, for every nation until my ummah, my nation does not enter Jannah. Allah has given this to us. Allah has given us the status. It is time for us now to pick up the flag of Islam. To understand that when the West comes out with some new hairstyle, it does not have to be my child that has to be the first to take on that hairstyle. When the West comes out with some plan of life, that this is how a child must live his life. First he must go to school, then he must go to university, he must get a degree, he must get a fancy job, he must dress in this way. It does not have to be me and my family that have to follow behind them. Allah has given us our way of life. Allah has given us our deen. This word deen also is translated very loosely as a religion. Understand, a religion is something restricted to a time and place. The Jews observe their Sabbath on a Saturday, that is their religion for them. The Christians have the Sunday when they go to church, that is their religion for them. But the correct translation of this word deen, it is a way of life. It is not restricted to any time or any place, to any function, any environment. That in my home, I will take care of the commands of Allah. But when I am gone out, it is not in my control, there is nothing I can do. When I am in the business place, there is nothing I can do. But this deen is a way of life for us in every step. Every step of our life, my dressing, my conduct, my upbringing of my children, the way I take care of my home, the way I run my business, must be done in accordance to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only in this is success. There is no success elsewhere. This is something you and I have to understand. We look for solutions elsewhere. People complain the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going through so much of torment, so much of torture, so much of persecution, whether it be in Burma, whether it be in Syria, whether it be in Palestine, whether it be on our own doorstep. We know of the recent increase in hijackings, in kidnappings, in robberies. Ulama explained very beautifully, I will end with this example, that you take a small child to the zoo, and behind bars there is a lion. This child will walk up to the cage, he will put his hand between the bars also. The lion will roar, he'll scream back at the lion. The lion turns around, he pulls the tail of that lion also. Why? He understands that there is a bar, there is a cage separating that lion and myself. I am at no danger. But let the announcement be made that the lion has now come free. He has broken out of his enclosure and is now roaming around that zoo. Then leave alone the 4 or 5 year old child, even the bodybuilder also. Even the bodybuilder will turn and run on his heels. Because he understands now the danger is real. Now the threat is real. Similarly, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this point in time, we are like that caged lion. We have the power, we have the strength, we have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But due to our sins, due to our disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to our constant breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that bar has come between us and the enemies of Islam. So they understand that this lion poses no threat to me. It cannot harm me in any way. All it can do is roar from behind that cage. But when this ummah will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make tawbah, and we will pledge to live our lives according to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then no matter what anybody tells me, never mind they tease me, they mock at me, why are you keeping your beard? Why are you dressing like this? Why are you not talking to women? Why are you not allowing your woman to talk to men? Why are you running your business in this way? Why are you not joining us in our functions? No matter what they tell me, no matter how they tease me, they mock at me. As long as I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we will make this decision in our own hearts, in our own lives, that I will try my best. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove these bars. He will remove the lion from the cage. Then when the lion roars, then when the Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will stand up and speak, then the enemies of Islam will turn and run. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will restore honor, dignity, glory to the Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.